Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Infinite complacence. People went to and fro the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
Well, Jeff, we have been in touch for really a very long time, many, many years. I think even back when I was on Sasquatch Chronicles, if I'm not mistaken. But you are in the Pacific Northwest, and I know that you got a lot of outdoorsy stuff to do there, and you do that. And you say that you've actually had multiple encounters, one specifically that I cannot wait to hear about. You could probably guess which one that is. But did you always have an interest in Bigfoot, or was it kind of when you started to go out in the woods and have these experiences that it popped up on your radar?
My father started teaching me to track when I was about 5 years old, and about seven, I probably got my first 22 410 shotgun over and under and started hunting. So I've been in the woods my whole life and never paid attention to anything that I thought was out of the ordinary. Again, you know, when you're hunting, you're looking for a specific target, and then at night you're around the fire and you're tired and you go to sleep. You don't go wandering around at night. So that's probably why I never paid attention to it. I grew up in Florida. We moved there when I was 8, and we were in a very wild area. We had rattlesnakes in our yard, coral snakes. My brother and I, our playground was the woods, but never thought of anything about Bigfoot. And then the show with Matt and those guys finding Bigfoot or whatever came on. And so I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, these guys have to be the worst hunters in the absolute planet to be hearing all this, seeing all this stuff, showing all this evidence, and yet they can't find anything. They just got to be terrible. So I bought a book and I read it, and it kind of told me, here's where you want to go if you want to try to have an encounter. You know, go somewhere where there's plenty of food sources. And also, if there is any farmland around, go to that place. So I sought out, and it just happened to be, I was living maybe 10 miles away from a closed state park that closes at night and only open during the day, that had lots and lots of woods, little playground in the beginning, but had a river running through it full of salmon and trout, elk herd on the premises, deer everywhere. I said, this is the perfect place. If they're here, they're a little mountainous, and it was some old mines were down there. So many years ago, they had mines. So there was definitely mine shafts in there. So I just said, I'm just going to go look, and I'm going to disprove everything they're saying. And within 30 minutes, I found a 12-inch track with toes. So from that point on, I said, they're real, and I was hooked. That's my basically starting story.
Yeah, I think that would do it. So that track was quite defined then. It was just the one track, or was it a trackway?
It was not a trackway. I've came across a few. The ground here is not conducive to tracks and casting tracks in Western Washington, unless you run across a real Duffy-like area, which where I was at wasn't. It's very rocky and very hard. So I've found a track or two and then messed up where you could see where something was walking, but not a definite trackway. So it was just a single track. But nobody runs around the woods barefooted with that size of foot of where I was at. Anyway, I was way, way off the beaten path.
Right. And as far as you knew, they weren't filming Naked and Afraid with Shaquille O'Neal out there, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, they weren't. Shaq wasn't out there.
No. Like, oh, Shaq has a place out in Western Washington. How cool. A little disturbing. He's walking around out here, you know, barefoot and or possibly nude. Who knows? But, hey, people are into right. weird stuff. So that's interesting about you mentioned the old mines. And then they've got water there. They've got big game. They've got the fish. They've got pretty much everything that they need. Did you ever find any evidence of them being in or around the mines of the area?
Yeah, I with my camera there's one way up a really steep incline. At three quarters of the way up, there is a big hole entrance, which is very much not big enough for them to like walk into, but to get on their belly and to crawl into. And I zoomed in with my camera and I saw a track up there right by the entranceway. Later on after that, I had my son out with me and I said, well, I want to crawl up there and see that what's going on up there. So we literally had to crawl, and it was through blackberry vines and brush real thick. There was no trees at all. It was all brush. And we got almost there, probably about 10 feet away. We both looked at each other and said, I don't want to go the rest of the way. And we turned around and came back. I'm a firm believer that they do have a psychic ability. And I am going to say at that point that they somehow got in our heads and had us turn around and go back. So since then, I said, I know I don't want to really invade their home. So I have never tried to go back in there nor go into the mines. Are all closed up. And I'm sure there's entrances. That's probably one of them, as well as other places that are maybe covered with a huge boulder or something. I'm sure that there's a huge connection of mines in there anyway.
Now, Jeff, you say that you both realized at the same time that you shouldn't go any further, that you maybe had this feeling that that was what was supposed to happen, that it was time to turn around. Now, you say possibly this was like a psychic event via one of these creatures or one or more, but do you think it's possible that maybe instead of, or even if it's just in this instance, I'm not trying to blanket statement things, but
right.
Do you think that it could have been maybe just an infrasound incident where it made you both feel uneasy enough at the same time? Or do you really feel like there was something in your head going, time to turn around?
No, we were just like, no reason to go any further. There's nothing up there. And we just kind of had the same thing at the same time. Now I've been what I call zapped when I first got to know this plan that was living in this area. I got zapped. I know what that is. That is really a bad feeling. And that means time to, like, I felt like, yeah, they're really bad. So that's a totally different feeling than I had at this point.
What did that feel like?
Well, so I was on the man trail, and when I was walking around, I ended up, because I live so close, I was going, three times at least a week in the morning before I went to work. And then I was going over there when I came home from work. I got thrown out by the game warden a couple times and the police for sneaking in after dark. There's a game warden that lives on the place that caught me. So when I first, right after I found that track, I was pretty much staying walking around. I had my dog with me and I was kind of taking the dog for walks. I really wasn't you know, going into the heavy bush or anything then. But I came, as I come around this curve, I was always getting this feeling that they were back here to the left, and it was a wooded area back there. And I kept getting the feeling, And one day I said, I'm going to go back there and see. So I got back there, and all of a sudden, I felt like I was going to have a heart attack. I felt like I was surrounded by them and that they were going to kill me. That's the best way I can describe it. And I felt just, it was terrible. And I didn't, once I started feeling that way, I just stopped, took a deep breath, thought maybe it would go away. It didn't. Started backing out of there. And when I got maybe, you know, 10 yards further back, it just completely went away. So they didn't know me. I didn't know them. I don't know what was going on, if they just didn't want me back there, if there was a birthing, if there were young ones. You know, so there was something. They didn't want me back there at that time. So I took the hint and got out of there. And that's the only time in all the years I've been out there and many other places that I've felt that.
And you say there, you've identified essentially a clan in the area. So how many mm-hmm. of these guys do you think there are in this clan? And have you found a pattern as to when they are there?
This particular place, they're there year round. There might be other individuals that wander in and out, but there's two brothers on one side of the river and their families. On the other side of the river is immense. So I couldn't even begin to count. I couldn't even begin to count how many are back there. A good many, I can assure you that, because I have put eyes on little ones as well as big ones, and never the same one twice.
So you've put eyes on these things. So, because my next question would be, of course, how do you know that there's like two brothers on this side and many others on the other side? So you've essentially laid eyes on most every individual on each side of the river?
Absolutely not. The ones on the one side of the river that zap me, two distinct vocalizations, from adults. So I know, I mean, I'm saying two brothers, but, you know, that's just me, you know, guessing or
right.
something. But two adult males and their families. I have somewhere, pictures of a little hand sticking out of a bush and some and letting loose some orbs. And I have the orbs in progression from the hand all the way out into the air. So I took multiple pictures, boom, 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 as this orb kind of floated away. So that's kind of how I know. On the other side, I was coming back from camping out there. I let somebody drop me off during the day, and I camped. I camped several times out there. I always let somebody drop me off during the day. I camped, they picked me up the next day. And I was on my way back and looked over to the right, and there was a little gully, and there was an adult male standing behind a stump. Stump was about waist high with his hands on the stump. So he's the only one I've actually been close to and put eyes on that way. And I just stood. I said, hello, nothing. Stare. I'm like, you're going to come over and talk to me? No. I had no fear at all. I mean, it was huge. His chest was immense. But I wasn't going to cross the gully and make an approach toward him. And I had to. I was working later that afternoon, so I had to get back. So I said, well, if you aren't coming to over here, I'm not coming over there. I got to take off. And by that time, I started thinking it was my mind. Maybe I was seeing just that my mind was playing tricks on me. So as I walked away, I looked back, and he was walking away into the woods. So I know it wasn't my mind just playing a trick on me.
So, Jeff, are you of the mind then that they, when they're here on our plane, if you want to call it that, that they are flesh and blood, so that's why they can leave behind hair and tracks and things, and then they can then
sure.
essentially move into a portal and go to another place? Or you just think they're always flesh and blood, they just have other abilities and they're always here?
Well, a couple different things. My wife can actually, and she won't do it, she's scared to death of them, but she has that ability where she can hear them doing their, whatever you want to call it, telecommunication. And she can speak back. I've had her do it a couple times. And the answer was correct that it came back. So I knew she's just not the type that she's scared to death of. She just won't do it. But I have other friends that actually do actually communicate with them. So I know a little bit about more than probably the average person, and I'm willing to believe him and I trust him. And I have multiple people that tell me the same thing. So anyway, I believe they're flesh and blood. I believe, well, I know that they can walk through portals. I also know that not all of them have the ability to walk through portals. There's some that don't. There are some that don't have even any of the telecommunication abilities. But I also believe that I've watched one shimmer out right in front of me, and he didn't walk into a portal. He just slowly dissipated, as the best way I could put it, to where I couldn't see him at all, but I could see the track and the brush as he walked away, and he didn't leave any tracks. So kind of what you said, and the extra addition of, I know they could just shimmer out.
So essentially it's no different than we are. Some people are more sensitive or psychic, if that's what you want to call it, and have these extra abilities, while others, like myself, I'm about as sensitive as a rock.
Me too. Me too. I tell you what, no, I mean, I've tried and I've had somebody tell me that, you know, they, and me in particular, I have somebody that actually communicates with them where they said, just still your mind, still your mind's too busy, your mind's too busy. And I'm like, I can made it as still as I could. I still can't do anything like anything psychic, except for maybe have a dream once in a while. That's about it.
Yeah. That would be me. And if this is too personal, of course, then just tell me to, you know, we're going to move away from this. But you said that your wife is terrified of them, and that at some point there was kind of a, I don't know if you want to call it a test, or, but you mentioned that you said there was an answer, you know, to a question, and that it was correct. Can you share that experience, or is that a little too personal?
Yes. It really wasn't a question. I said, tell them that, well, there was a few of us there, tell them Jeff, Mary, and Joy, you said hello. And she said, okay. And so she was quiet for a second. I said, well, what'd they say back? She said, they said, we already know that. So, I mean, and my wife is Filipino, so she doesn't have any kind of command in English language. There's no way in the world she would say that if it actually wasn't put into her mind. So, I mean, it wasn't a question, but it's still, that was what I expected to come back, because like I said, the people I know that do communicate with them said they're very short to the point, you know, and won't answer a lot of questions that everybody wants to ask them. But there's a lot of stuff they will say. So I don't know. That was what I figured to be correct. And I said, well, and she said, no, I don't want to. I'm scared. So she doesn't like going out with me. And she is, because they were raised that they have, because they have a, you know, a Bigfoot type thing in the Philippines. I mean, my dad was in the Solomon Islands in World War II, which is close to the Philippines, and he saw them there. And they're the military actually called them the beasts of the Solomons or something. Anyway, so she's raised that there could be dangerous, which I'm sure they can. And she's also raised not to go off the trail, because there's little people that live out there under the leaves, and if she steps on them, they'll get cursed. So you have to know the Filipinos still have a lot of superstition. There we go.
Right. So I'm wondering if, you know, in the Filipino tradition, is it more just their sheer size that, you know, then you could get kind of like a bonk over the head, or is it more like they'll take you and you will never be found again, that kind of a thing.
No, it's more like they're there, but if you make them mad, like step on their food or something like that, that that they might grab you or something. I've never asked her in depth about that because I want to keep her as least scared as I can, so I can, now that we've had the baby, we haven't been out in quite a while, but when the baby gets a little bit older, I want to introduce the baby to them. And also I want Joy to try to, I'm trying to get her to where she's not afraid, because I want to talk to them. And I've been able to do everything else. I mean, vocalizations, I carried a flute for a while and I'd talk, they would vocalize and I would just talk back with kind of like a flute. And I want to be able to speak to them. I mean, I spend a lot of time day and night doing this, to not to just let it go and say, well, that's as far as I can go. I mean, because I'm not going to run around trying to chase. I'm way past chasing tracks and hair and all that other stuff. I know they're there. The next step for me is to communicate with them. And the only way I can see is to do it through Joy.
And you feel like they responded to you better when even you were taking this flute out there and playing this?
Oh, they would like, well, they would like follow me around for my hike. I mean, you know, coming from that, that's kind of how I knew there was two adult males on the one side, because at one end I would get one vocalization, and then the other end of about a 2 mile stretch, I would get a second vocalization, and they both would follow me around. Yeah, it was just kind of amazing. I mean, I kind of did it as just a thing to have some fun with to start out with. And then I noticed they were following me around, because I had to make sure that I wasn't being an idiot and there just wasn't some kind of bird I've never heard or some kind of animal I've never heard, because that animal or that bird would stay in one place. So once they started following me around, then I started kind of believing, okay, it is one of these people that they're vocalizing with me. They're kind of having fun with me. So
I mean,
how that goes.
Especially after having this kind of activity with you and with Joy and the kinds of things that go on in the area that you're at, what do you think they are?
Well, there are people that are just like us, but they're not monsters. They're just a different type of people. I was just reading the other day that Leif Erikson encountered them, and it's written down in his accounts when he first came to the New World. He encountered big, giant, swarthy, man-looking creatures. So they've been around a long time, whether they've been here before us or not, they just are. And I do know that they bury their dead in places where, you know, there would never be any construction or anything going on. They dig deep, they put rocks over their bodies. And then also, you know, if they don't, for whatever reason now, and I could go into what I think it is, but that's a big debate that splits the Bigfoot community in half. And I don't want to go there, is the reason why I think that they stay pretty much hidden from us and they'll go shimmer out or whatever when somebody's around. But yeah, so anyway, I kind of lost my track of thought there. Where I was going with that?
That's all right. Well, welcome to my world. No, no, it's okay. I do that right all the time. And as the years go on, it gets worse.
It does. Just rambling.
So that is interesting, because, you know, you say that some of them have the ability and others don't, because we have heard stories of them actually getting shot. And of course, those are become sometimes nefarious and infamous stories, because then it's this whole like, oh, the government swooped in and took the body and la la, and that's why I don't have the proof. But, you know, according to what you're saying, that would make sense, because some can just poop, they shimmer out and they're gone, and then others would not have that ability. So if they were put into some kind of a deadly situation via a human, then they wouldn't be able to poof right out of existence and essentially save themselves.
Correct. And from what I understand, the young ones don't, they develop the ability as they get older. So the young ones have to actually either have an adult, if they're going to, you know, shimmer out or whatever you want to call it, they have to be in contact with an adult that already has that ability. So the young ones would always be in jeopardy. So with that being said, that's a big reason. And like going along with some have been shot, and there's no doubt about it, them not wanting to be around us with their families and such. That, I mean, they're, you know, the juveniles are what are out the most when they don't know you, especially kind of like spying or seeing you, they're curious. They just don't. It's not magic, and it's not. It's pretty much common sense. I mean, if I lived out in the woods with my family and I knew that there was somebody that possibly was gonna shoot and kill me and my family, I wouldn't want to go around them at all. That makes sense, huh?
And I mean, saying that all of the juveniles, they don't inherently have that ability. They have to, well, of course, it has to be genetically passed down, first of all, right? But then they have to learn to develop the abilities, is what you're saying.
Correct. Either learn or it develops as they age. I don't know whether it's a learned ability or whether, I would say it's probably something that develops with age, with the genetics, because if it was a learned ability, then, well, I'm sure maybe they have dumb ones too, right?
You would think at some point, right?
Right. If it was a learned ability, maybe everyone could possibly learn how to do the different things. But from what I understand, that isn't the case. So I would say it's genetically, and probably it's something that with their maturity comes the ability to use the certain things. And they probably have to be taught too by an elder that, you know, knows how to do that.
They'd be like, hey, Billy, great job, but I can still see your entire leg and thigh. Come on, buddy. Let's get this right.
So I have pictures like that. Yeah, and everybody, I'm sure you've had people, so they'll show you a picture and there's only a face. You know, it's like, okay, you know, they're not a bunch of heads out there just running around, or all that's left. I have one that's all that's, I caught it when all that was left was the skeleton. So, and that's what it looks like, is it looks like a skeleton. The skeleton and the hair, the hair on the head was all that was left. And so, you know, it's a process where they go down. So I see pictures, people's pictures all the time, where there'll be a hand or an arm and it won't be attached to anything. It will look like it's not attached to anything, or a head or a foot, or, you know, various body parts that haven't completed the process yet. And a lot of people just poo-poo those pictures and think, well, what are they doing? Photoshopping something in there, blah, blah, blah. Well, maybe some people are. But also, I know people that I trust, and I have some myself, where I have various body parts, and especially a lot of heads with no bodies.
I gotta say, you know, if I'm in the woods, and whether I saw it with my own eyes or I snapped a picture, and then later on, even, let's just go with that route. Later on, I get home and there's a skeleton with hair or a floating, like, massive Bigfoot head, I'd be like, oh, maybe I need a break from the woods. I don't know.
I got them mostly from my video. I videoed for a long, long time, and then for a couple of years straight. And then what I do with my videos is I come home and I put them on the big computer and I would slow everything down. And it's stuff that you don't see when you're out there. Mm-hmm. You don't see it, but you catch it on the video or a picture. And I say pictures, but I mean mostly like screenshots that I was able to, you know, I slowed it down, I zoomed, saw what was there, I took a snapshot of that. I call that a picture, but it really isn't, because, you know, I didn't see anything and go, oh, let me take a picture of that. But I never, other than the one time when they didn't know me and I didn't know them and they zapped me, other than that, I've never felt bad out there. I've never felt fear. I've never felt, well, I've camped a countless number of times. I woke up one night and there were two big yellow eyes against my tent, just two big yellow spots. And I went, hey, boom, gone. But I've never felt fear. I've actually felt just the opposite. I have never felt apprehension of bears, which are everywhere out there, or any cats, which there are a few of those. And I felt like any time that I'm out there that I would be protected from any type of injury from an animal. That's the feeling I get.
So zipping back to the screenshots that you're pulling from the video, this isn't a trail. Mm-hmm. This isn't a trail cam situation. This is an actual video camera or DSLR or something like that. You just keep running and then you'll go back out and collect it later.
No, just a camera that I'll have a feeling that I do get the feeling. I can't communicate with them, but I can tell when they're near. Like a lot of people say their hair stands up on their skin and all that. That's kind of a fight or flight response. But with me, I just kind of get the feeling that they're over there or they're snapping twigs. They'll do that. They'll snap sticks and twigs and they'll be out of sight from what I can see. And so I would point my camera and just take a video there. The reason nobody has trail cam videos is because they use, it's like an infrared light or something that comes off of those things at night. They know what trail cams are. So nobody's going to ever get a trail cam video. It is never going to happen. A friend of mine, it's funny, that lives in Illinois, she actually speaks, can speak with them. And I've had multiple friends that have told me they've been there with her when she's been standing right in front of one of them. And so she has told me stories that people put trail cams out, especially along the river there, and the Bigfoot just take them off and throw them in the river. So I don't know. Maybe someday they'll have the technology to fool them. But right now, the technology doesn't fool them. They know it's there. They might see them put it there, too. That could be another thing.
Right. And I would hazard to say, even without the IR situation going on with those things, I mean, you know, if somebody came and put some random thing in my house that I would know immediately that it was there. And especially if I didn't quite exactly know what it was, I may not want to get close to it.
Not in the state park where I'm at, where I go all the time, but I've been to a lot of other areas. I've been to Florida and a friend of mine took me out where she goes, and I've been around a few different places. Well, I was on an Indian reservation where they actually did an episode of Finding Bigfoot. And a friend of mine lives out there. And I said, hey, let's go out there and hike around out there and see what we can find or whatever. And they were there. I didn't have any kind of interactions with them, but I saw the structures and we saw a track or two. And, you know, there was enough deer and elk, there was enough food for them. So I knew they were there. And there was a reason why they did Finding Bigfoot there. I mean, somebody told them. I found a trail cam there and I took one of the pictures I have off my phone and put it in front of the trail cam.
Did you?
I said, that's the closest you're ever going to see a Bigfoot.
That's one way to do it, right?
Yeah.
So Jeff, you essentially said this, but I want to zip back to this. You say that you haven't been zapped again after that time. And is this because they essentially now know you, they know who you are?
Yeah, they know me very well where I go all the time. Now, here is what I'm told, because I asked my friend that speaks with them why when I go to new areas that I don't get zapped again, because I get close to them and around them, but I've never been zapped again. And she said they have some way of putting some kind of what they see in us, they can see our aura. And I don't know if you believe in auras, or everybody, I think, gives off a good or bad vibration, right? She says that they have some way of kind of tagging you to let others know that you're not a threat. And she says that the clan I hang out with has tagged me so that when I am around others, I don't get any of the bad sensations or anything.
So they put out a, it was an APB, like an aura points bulletin out on you.
Like they she says they tag you.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, well, whatever it is, I'm good with that because I never want to feel that feeling again. I mean, I had an anxiety attack. I thought I was going to have a heart attack once, and then it was a real one. I take medication if I get to feel that way anymore. And it was nothing compared to what I felt out there that day. Nothing. And so I never want to, and I didn't go anywhere to any other place for a long time. And I didn't go back there for a long time. It probably took me 10 or 12 hikes in the area before I would go back to that spot because I didn't want to feel that way again. But it never happened.
And then what happened when you finally decided to go back into that area? Did you like say out loud or in your head, like, I'm cool, guys. Like, we don't need to have that happen again.
Nothing happened. I didn't say anything. I mean, I started, and that back there is that exact spot is where I go and I sit down. I have a native flute that I learned to play, and it just, I like it because it calms me down or anything. I'm not trying to make them think I'm a Native American, which a lot of people think that's the case, but that is not the case because they know I'm not. But it's my most peaceful spot. There were times before I got married when I was upset about something. Even at night, I'd go in and I'd sneak in and go back there at night and just sit down in that area, and I find a lot of peace there. So it became where I would leave a lot of things. I mean, always in closed containers. I've left a lot of corn and, apples. I know they won't eat carrots, and I found out because something that grows wild is like an orange root is poisonous to them. They won't touch a carrot. But everything that I've ever taken, I'll take crystals sometimes and leave them, and they always disappear. I left them 5 crystals once. And 2 years later, I was out there hiking, and one of those crystals showed back up in the middle of the path. That was nowhere near where I left it, which I thought was really cool. But I that's just kind of the place where I go. And anything I've always left, I put in like a jar that had to be unscrewed, and it was never broken, or, a tough Tupperware that something would have had to have prehensile thumbs to take off the lid to get it, or tear through it, which like an animal would do if they could smell into there. And I never had anything torn apart. The jars were always unscrewed, and the lids for anything else were always taken off and a lot of times put back on loosely.
Kind of totally off what you were just talking about, but I wanted to ask you before I forgot. No, you are good. I'm going somewhere else. Do you think that whether it's a rogue or the clans or part of a clan, do you think they take people? And if they do, what are they doing with them?
Well, the natives have a lot of stories about them taking the women way back in the day. I have another friend, he's passed away now. He did shows with Kiwani Lepsaritis back when I didn't even have radio shows they were doing. So Thomas was really intuitive, and I really, really sad to see him go. I never met him in person, but he said one told him once that he was going to take him out of his skin, he took that he was going to, yeah. So he backed away. And there are bad ones. There are bad ones. There are cannibalistic clans from, I've never been there, nor would I ever go into the swamps of Louisiana, which is where I hear they hang out. And just like people, there's going to be bad ones. But just like people, there are consequences. And from what I understand that, after a couple warnings that the the rest of the clan just takes the bad ones out. They're done. Because then, you know, already people are suspecting there's something going on, you know, with the missing 911 and all that. So people are already, you know, they're kind of leery about that. And they know that if their people create too much bad stuff toward humans, that they will be hunted down. And you know, people now, I think, you know, there are, like Texas, there's a group of them, but I mean, they're trying to hunt them like they'd hunt a deer or something. So that's never going to work. But, you know, they don't want to be, you know, hunted by everybody, like by the mob, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, especially when if you're part of the good ones and you have, you know, one bad apple ruins the bunch. Yeah, we don't need they're like, guys, we don't need the spotlight on us, okay? We're trying to keep on the down low.
Yeah, exactly. He's got to go. That's what's my buddy back east, God rest his soul, would have said. Jeffy's got to go.
Or like Yellowstone, right? Like, take him to the train station, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what happens. That's what I hear.
Jeff, can you tell me any more about the cannibalistic element and the clans down in the swamps of Louisiana? Do you have any more information on that?
Nah, not much. Just, you know, everybody that I know that I know, like, five people that can communicate with them, and they're all from different areas, and they all say exactly the same thing when questions are asked, and they all said the same thing, is that the Bigfoot that they talked to told them, don't ever go down in, they down low, you know, they don't have words like north, south, east, and west, that they say down low, because they'll eat you. And that's just all I've heard. I mean, and that's enough for me, if I'm ever in Louisiana or Mississippi or whatever, not to want to go out there hiking around, you know. It's like, because I love to hike at night. I only take a key light. It's so peaceful. I love to hike at night way more than I do during the day. So I have to stay on a trail pretty much then. But still, it's really cool hiking at night. But I have no desire to go and find out if there really is a cannibal Bigfoots down there.
You know, you're really making me question things now, Jeff, because we've kind of been talking and we're thinking maybe, and it'll be several years from now, but maybe moving to maybe down low. So to get some property, and I want to be in the woods and do some footing. But now I'm like, oh, darn it. They're cannibalistic down here. Darn it.
Well, just stay out of the swamps. I'm pretty sure that it's the swamp. I mean, all the stories I hear about people disappearing and stuff down there, it's always in the swamps, you know, so not in the woods. I mean, N.K. Davis, he's down in Mississippi, and he's always out in the woods and stuff there, but he doesn't go into the swamp. I think him, somebody's been, I guess there's a story or a local legend about the honey something swamp creature, and he's been down there looking around. And I don't know how swampy it is, but I saw some video of him there, and they were on higher ground. They weren't in a swamp, that's for sure. But I guess it wouldn't matter if one wanted to grab you, whether you were in the swamp or next to the swamp.
Yeah, I wonder if them just living in the swamp and around skeeters all day would just make you pissy, you know?
I live there. I'm going to reach out. We were going to retire in Texas, and I'm going to retire in 4 years. And I decided to go back home to Florida. But Texas has mosquitoes that are big enough to carry away a baby.
Yeah, I saw a post. Actually, it was just yesterday. It's funny. I don't know where it was, you know, where the sign was or where the joke was supposed to be centralized around, but it essentially said, oh, that's our state bird, you know, the mosquito. My God.
They're not kidding. They're really jet black, too. I mean, they're wicked. They're wicked. They're as big as, you know, the mosquito hawks, the one that everybody thought was mosquitoes, but they don't bite. Yeah, okay. So they get almost that big.
Yeah, that's why I'm wondering, like, why am I thinking of moving down there when skeeters just love me? You know, some people just don't really get bothered by them, but I'm like, I could that is not me. Like, you will not find me on Naked and Afraid and all that, because the bugs would just be, it would, I'd be done like one night. Like, I'm out. See ya.
Some deep woods off or something will take care of that, I assure you. But I know people, if you're like that, that put that on, that still get bit.
Yeah, I'm kind of one of those people. And maybe I just need to like bathe in it, you know, just get in a tub full of it. Like, I'll have a separate little house just with a tub full of off, like the deep woods, like you said. Maybe that'll work. Yeah. I don't know. But that may not be too healthy for me. I don't.
Probably not. I always, and even here in Washington in the summertime, when I'm in the woods at night, I have to spray myself, and I don't use the, I kind of think of what I use, and it's out of my mind for some cutters. That's why I use is cutters. And I still have, if I don't use the cutters, I get bit, and I don't get bit a lot, but I have to put the cutters on, but I absolutely wash it off as soon as I get home, because I'm sure it's not, it's absorbing through your skin and going to your brain and making you forget things when you get older.
But darn it, isn't it worth it at the time when you're not getting bit by the state bird of wherever the heck you're at? Yeah, exactly. So,
for sure.
What about this? Can we go to the juvenile in the tree incident?
Oh, yes. That's one of the best. That was a funny one. So I was hiking with my friend Mary and my friend RJ, who's blind as bat. He was in the Air Force. He was on the Thunderbird team, and he got a brain tumor, and they told him he was going to lose one of his, the only way they could get it, he was going to lose one of his senses, and they weren't sure. It could be taste, hearing, smell, sight, and actually it made him blind. He loved going out in the woods and off trail. He would just grab onto my back and off we'd go. But we were off on one of our hikes, and we stopped into a little hidden clearing where I pitched my tent at. It's my little campsite, so I always have water stashed there and everything. So we stopped to get some water, and we're sitting there, and the dogs are fussing around. We had two dogs, and we're sitting there drinking water, and all of a sudden we hear this crack. What? And I look over, and I just see this juvenile Bigfoot. He's probably about, I don't know, he might be about 4 foot tall, falling through the trees, trying to grab branches, hits the ground, and ran off as fast as any Olympic sprinter I've ever seen. Faster, just, I mean, within a flash, he was gone, but we saw what it was. And I don't know, about 30 seconds later, we hear the samurai voice, which I'm sure you know the samurai sounds. That's how I've heard them a lot of times, and that's their language. It's just it sounds like a bunch of gibberish. And then you hear the yipping, like of a young boy getting whipped with a switch, or a young dog yipping. Say that he got in trouble for getting caught and falling out of a tree, and he got switched for it. So that was a funny thing, but it was really cool to see, you know, a juvenile Bigfoot falling down in a tree right there, 25-30 feet away from us.
And you said this poor little guy was actually clamoring for branches on the way down, huh?
Oh yeah, he was grabbing branches. What he was up there doing was spying on us, you know, because the juveniles like to do that, and I think sometimes it's their job that the older ones set the juveniles about when there are humans in the woods to kind of keep an eye on them to make sure. Like, I'm pretty sure when I got zapped that there was a birthing or something going on. I just don't think it wasn't that they just didn't know me, because they could have just went another direction. There was something going on there. There was, you know, some young ones that maybe they couldn't corral, or my best guess is a birthing. But anyway, back to the little one falling out of the tree. It was just, we just thought it was funny. And it was. So I still laugh about it to this day. What I think is funny is that he got his little butt switched when his mama got a hold of him.
And he was getting told off. Did you hear one voice of samurai chatter or two, like a male-female situation?
Just one.
Just one.
just one. Maybe it was Daddy, but we kind of assumed it was Mom.
What color hair do most of the Bigfoot around there have?
Well, that one was all brown. The one that I saw was brown, with the exception of his mustache. His mustache and the hair coming not all the way down his chin. It was almost like just his mustache hair was a black. And I haven't really seen or found in any of my pictures or videos anything that looked jet black, like I've seen somewhere in some people's pictures in gray. Their skin color is dark. It's not a lighter color, but it's not completely dark, dark. The two features that stand out the most is the chest size is immense. I mean, immense. It makes Arnold Schwarzenegger in his day look like a little kid. And the eyes are like, best way, when people ask me, what do the eyes look like? I have them Google an Arctic seal and look at the eyes of an Arctic seal. They're jet black. You can't see any sclera or any iris or anything, just jet black.
And what about their faces? Is it more the gorilla type or the human?
Where I've been and what I've seen, it's more the human type. I haven't seen anything that looked like a gorilla, you know, at all. If I had, I might have been a little bit more afraid. But most just pretty human. I guess the best way I can describe it is real close to what the Australian Aboriginal's face looks like. Real close. At least around here. And when I was in Florida, they were making a lot of racket when my friend took me out, but I never saw anything. And she asked me not to video, so I did not video.
She told you not to video?
Uh-huh. She said they didn't want a video.
Oh.
I'm like, okay. She said she communicated, but they were like, she said, say hello, and they were breaking trees. It was absolutely crazy. Nothing like, and I've heard that too from other parts of the country. I've been in Western Washington. I've been, of course, I mean, I've been in Eastern Washington, and I've been in Florida. I haven't seen anything. I've heard a lot, but I haven't seen anything other than where I'm at over here in Western Washington. So I couldn't attest to any skin color or hair color or anything once you get out of here. But from what I mean, they're pretty diverse from what I understand. One of my friends tells me they claim that they have 8 different races.
But if you take, so you have Mary and you have RJ, and of course your wife when she does go out, what if you brought, like what if I flew up there and I'm like, okay, well, take me out to your area. Are they going to then not interact with you at all and me at all because I am there, or because you're there, then they just assume, oh, well, she must be cool?
No. They are, yes. I have done that, and not only do they not interact with me or the person that is there with me, they are pissed at me, is the only thing I can say, because for a couple months, they won't even interact with me after that. So I no longer bring anybody there. If I want to bring somebody that wants to go out, I'll take them to other places where... Right. They don't know me well enough to get mad at me and whatever. I have a place. Do you remember when you lived here, a place called Tiger Mountain?
No, going actually. Where's that?
Right out of Auburn. It's the road that goes from Auburn.
Yes.
Up to, it's Highway 18.
Yes.
Well, at the top of that, that's Tiger Mountain Summit up there. So anyway, there's a group that's there. I call them the Rock Clackers. And there's a certain area as you're leaving the area on a specific hike, they clack a bunch of rocks. And I've taken plenty of people there on hikes. I'm like, okay, so when we get up here about a quarter of a mile, we're almost going to be out of the area. You're going to hear a bunch of rock clacks. And they're like, yeah, right. And so we get up to the area and clack, 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 clack. They're like, wow, that's crazy. And I'm like, no, they are not saying goodbye to me. They're letting everybody else know that we are leaving the area. Yeah, it's a little different, but I have more than one places that I'll take somebody, but where I where I consider myself friends with the that clan, I do not bring anybody there anymore.
And have you seen any of these members of the Rock Clacking Clan?
No, not what I can say I put eyes on them. No, no, through the years, you know, the tree breaking. I mean, I see where they all the. I know they live there because once you learn what to look for, the way they bend trees and the structures and, you know, an occasional track here and there and a vocal, a whistle. They like to whistle. All of them seem to like to whistle when they're kind of comfortable with you, and they'll whistle just, I think, to get your attention, just to see how you react. And they also will do stuff like if you're heading in a direction where they don't want you to go, where there might be some females, they really are uncomfortable with us being around the females. Another one will make a ruckus to get you to turn away and head that way to try to see what's going on over there, to take you away from where you were going. I mean, it's really crazy, the behavior, but once you learn it, you know what's going on, and I just kind of play around with it. If they're trying to lead me away from something, I respect that, and I just let them lead me away.
Right. You're smart enough to take the hint.
Yeah. I'm going to proceed when I don't want to get that feeling again. And I feel that if I keep going when they're trying to distract me enough to make me go, if it's that important to them that they're going to make themselves known, making a bunch of noise and whistling and breaking trees, that if they're going to go to that length, then I'm not going to keep pushing it because I don't want to have that feeling again, ever.
So, Jeff, what about tree structures? Do you put any credence into that? Have you been able to label, like, per se, an X? You know, what does that mean? Have you been able to corroborate anything with tree structures and the clans that you have there?
Yeah, they use that X in many different things and in context. I did a lot of studying for a long time with the ground glyphs, which they communicate in ground glyphs. But the X is used in many different things. And I've learned it from, you know, several different people. You know, they could leave an X stick where you might have left them a little gift or something. And they might leave an X as a thank you. I think they use it as, you know, this is where we live. We're here. You know, it just depends on the context of what they're trying to do, but it's not for us. So, you know, until that's why I want to talk to them, because that's all the questions I want to ask. And I do know what they use for a symbol is a portal nearby. That's a ground glyph. That was told to me by somebody that speaks with them. You know, there sometimes stuff is a map. Other times it's art. They're just doing it as art. They also bend. If you've ever been in the woods and you've noticed a tree that's bent over to where it's not dead, but it's bent over to where it is completely horizontal with the ground, and you see other trees growing up out of it. Have you seen that?
No, I don't believe that I have.
Okay, so if you're looking for it, you might notice it sometime when you're in the woods, at least up here. And my theory is that they're bending those trees because eventually five or six more trees, as that tree gets old enough to hold them, these branches that have started growing straight up are going to spread out, and they're just trying to create more growth in the woods. So there's a lot of different meanings for what they do out there. And like I said, I don't think any of them are for us. And I do know it's not stay out. if they want hikers to stay out of, I got plenty of pictures of barricades where they've barricaded the path or the way with a lot like a ground dam. I mean, a huge barricade of sticks and brush that's the barricade. You know, there's two things. Number one, stay out. The other ones, they will barricade sometimes when they don't want the young ones to go any farther. And that makes sense. You'll see them like, I drive through a wooded area on my way to work. And on both sides of the street, I mean, it's a highway, people are flying, but both sides of the street are miles and miles of woods. And I can see where they put these barricades all along, I mean, for 10 miles on both sides, all along the edge of the woods, so that kids won't run out onto the street, kind of same way we'd do when we use like playpens or whatever. Our kids don't get next to the highway, or hopefully most of them don't, but they kind of do the same thing we would do.
Yeah, we don't need we don't need any pet cemetery situations, right? With little Gage,
right?
We don't need that horrifying part of that movie. The photos that you've been mentioning, Jeff, and you know, I know how it is to share photos online. I totally get that, but I'll be remiss if I don't at least ask for the listeners: are any of these photos online, or are you willing to share any of these for me to place in show notes? I have to ask since you brought it up.
I have no problem with that. I mean, I post them on my Facebook. I mean, and anybody, half my friends think I'm crazy because I believe in Bigfoot, and the other half likes to see them. So I don't mind, you know, any type of photos. I did for a long time. I still have my own YouTube channel, but I forgot. And that was back when I was just getting into it. So there's a lot of videos of absolutely nothing. You know, I had that channel, and I can still look at it. I still look at it stuff. I made some things of structures. I made some things of glyphs, all kinds of stuff, which I don't mind at all sharing.
Would you be willing, I know you're super busy, but if you had a time to just send me a few of maybe your more kind of stunning finds, you know, any heads or bodies or, you know, actual creatures, or one shimmering in and out, as you said, if you'd be willing to maybe find those, if they're easy enough to find, of course. If not, I can always, you can send me the YouTube channel link, and then people can find it themselves. But I think that'd be pretty cool to show some folks some of what you've been talking about today.
Yeah, the YouTube link, there's some cool stuff on there, but there's a lot of stuff that I put on there that absolutely is just videos of nothing. And I might name it Bigfoot on the Sierras, and there ain't a Bigfoot in that video at all. So it's kind of why I quit doing that so much. It's been a long time since I took it. But yeah, I don't mind. I just have... We're friends on Facebook, right?
Absolutely.
I think so. So on my story, I just put one up this morning. It's mostly my kid, but I put one up this morning where one is half shimmered out, and it looks like, and it's a second one where the head's there, but it looks like it looks like one guy is standing there with his hand around just a head. It's really, really interesting. And it picked up all of the energy that this was creating, and it shows it in the picture, all the energy that this was creating while all this was going on in this picture. It's one of my more intense photos, but I can send you, I can make a list. Do you want, do you want more pictures of like Bigfoot themselves, like shimmering, or like I can send you a couple of that. Are you interested in any glyph and any structure I got at all? I think one of my more interesting deals is with the ground glyphs. That people are like, oh, those are just sticks. Well, I've got the same ones from here, Eastern Washington and Florida, that are exactly the same. So it's kind of cool. But I can send you just a bunch of pictures, and you can pick out what you think would be interesting for the people to see. Because what I find interesting, other people might not find interesting. I don't know.
Oh, that would be amazing if you could do that. Yeah, some of just your favorites. I would say over all of it, like the glyphs and the actual Bigfoot and shimmering in and out and all those those kinds of things. I think that would be awesome. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Just if you text message me or email, it'd probably be the easiest way to send it, I would think.
Yeah, I'll send you my email address, because it's probably better that way than over Facebook Messenger. Gets a little wonky sometimes for stuff like that.
Facebook, absolutely. The pictures are they get compressed.
Yes.
You know, and they don't come out right all the time. Sometimes I look at a picture and then I post it and I look on Facebook and go,
oh,
what the hell is that?
Yeah. It's like, I didn't take it with a potato. Look at this. I mean, what happened? Yeah. It's terrible.
Yes.
It compresses it so much, pictures and videos. It just turns out horrible. So that would be much,
yes,
much, much appreciated if you would be willing to do that. Like I said, I'll hop into the Facebook Messenger and shoot you my email address. But Jeff, it's been a pleasure to talk to you finally after all of these years. It has been
Absolutely.
A long time coming.
Yes, I agree. It's been a pleasure talking with you as well.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such and such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little biography. The Buddha says, forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you are now. Well, nobody knows who that is. Because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes and consulting our memories. But then there's a real you, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the real you. We shall see how they play with this exam. By the koans, to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are.
Thank you.
says, when you settle down in the train to read your newspaper and so on, you are not the same person who a little while ago left the platform. If you think you are linking your moments up in the chain. And this is what binds you to the wheel of birth and death. But when you know that every moment in which you are is the only moment, this comes into Zen. A master will say to somebody, now get up and walk across the room. And he comes back and he says, where are your footprints? They've gone. So where are you? Who are you? When we are asked who we are, we usually give a kind of recitation of a history.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.